Tonight being Yom HaShoah, we are not fortunate to be at the event that the White Shul is co-sponsoring, so the decision was that we should have a shiur a little bit about Inyanei HaShoah. So I wasn't sure exactly what to do. So I opened up Tshuvas Mimamakim, Rabbi Ephraim Ashri, and I decided, let's analyze his first shaila that he has in there. A little bit of a controversy, exactly who wrote the Tshuvas Mimamakim. Did these stories really happen? Did they not happen? Big academic discussion. Not for now. Doesn't make a difference. Very fascinating anyway. So the first tshuva in Tshuvas Mimamakim is as follows. I happen to think that the tshuva that he wrote was very strange. So I'll just photocopy the shaila and then we'll discuss the tshuva on our own. Go through it on our own and come to some sort of maskana for this shaila. So here goes the question. B'yom Dalet El Tafshin Aleph. I am horrible at figuring out dates. When is Tafshin Aleph? What? 1941? Okay, so on Dalet Elul of 1941, Asu Hagermanim said, "Said al Chayus Meshotetos Kegon Klavim Mechatulim." They made a big animal fight. They brought all these cats and dogs into a shul. Asu was from the Beis Hamedrash Hachadash, Dinaya Klois in Slabodka. They brought all these animals into the new shul that we had just built in Slabodka. The Hemisu Osam Hemisas Yaria. They decided that they're going to have a big fight between the cats and the dogs and let the dogs eat the cats and make a big mess in the shul. And that's what they decided to do. Ulam daitam shalazedim ha'arur mimachsharam lo niskara bezeh shechilu asakadesh v'hafchu makam taru tfilo lebeis mitzvah chayim shel klavim v'chatulim. It wasn't enough that they made this big animal fight and made blood all over. Blood was spritzing all over the shul and ruining it, and there were dead animals all over the shul. That wasn't good enough for them. What they do next? Elo shekinsu hamoni Yehudim. The next thing that they did was they brought in a whole group of Jews. Sheyiru b'chilul makam mikdasham, that the Jews should experience and should watch the chilul Hashem that's going on. V'lo od elo shechrichu Yehudim achadim sheyikru b'mo yedehem sefer Torah. They also made the Jews take the sefer Torah out of the Aron and rip the sefer Torah. U'v'yiriyosav yechasos nevelos hachayos haharugos. So they made them take, it's a wild story, they made them take the ripped up Sifri Torah that they had just made them rip up, and they made them wrap up the dead animals in the Sifri Torah. Rabbi Feiner was talking to me this afternoon, just a little interesting story. He said that there's a book, Hasaraf Mibrisk. It's about Reb Shulayb Diskin. He was the Dayan in Brisk, who Reb Chaim held was the biggest Rav. Reb Chaim was crazy about him. So Rabbi Shulayb Diskin wrote a book. In the book, he quotes about how much he held of his own father, that he felt his father was much greater than him. So there's a couple of stories about it. So Rabbi Feiner told me a story this afternoon that Rabbi Shulayb Diskin was trying to show how great his father was. He said that his father used to sit in the inner room and he used to sit in the outer room, and they would both learn on their own. And when people came in for a shaila, so they would show it to Rabbi Shulayb Diskin. They would ask him the shaila, you know, a treifa or whatever it was, a shita shaila. And if it was a simple shaila, he would look it up in Shulchan Aruch and answer the shaila. If it was very difficult, he would go into the inner room and bother his father, ask him the shaila. So he said that one day, a gabbai from the shul came in, and he showed him a sefer Torah that for some reason got ripped, whatever it was. So he wanted to know, do we need a fast, do we need this, do we need that, ter kriya, whatever it was. So Reb Shulayb Diskin told them what he thinks the answer should be, al pi halacha. But he said, you know what? Let's go and ask my father. It's a shaila chamura, let me go ask my father. So they walk into the room, and he's holding the two parts of the Sefer Torah, and his father fainted. So he said, that's the difference between me and my father. There you have it. So, you know, it's powerful to read these types of stories. The question is what we do with them and how we react. It's very frightening stories that they have here. So basically he says that they had this animal fight in the shul. The cats and the dogs, they made them eat each other up, and now they had dead animals all over the shul. So then the next thing they did was they made the Jews come in, rip the Sefer Torah, which when I spoke to my father about this, he said, obviously that would be something that is Yaharg Val Yavar. If a guy calls a person, Rachmana Litzlan, into a shul and tells him to rip the Sefer Torah because he's trying to be Mechal Shem Shemayim, obviously that's called Yaharg Val Yavar. We should never know from such things, but that is the halacha. A person would obviously not be allowed to do such a thing. He has to give up his life for that. So they didn't. And these Jewish people, you can't blame them. They were obviously under a very stressful time and a very stressful situation. So the story goes that the Jews actually went in and they took out the Sefer Torah, and they watched how their fellow Jews were ripping apart the Sefer Torah, legzarim, into little pieces. It's the Jews stood there and watched as the other Jews ripped apart the Sefer Torah, wrapped the dead animals into the shreds of the Sefer Torah, and cleaned up all the blood with these shreds of Sefer Torah. Bob Shaila Lafane Hagaiva de Kovna Zatzal. So the Av Bezin of Kovna, who was the Dvar of Ram, came to me with the Shaila Sheisak and Shuva Kol HaNoshim Shehayu Ba'osa Maimed Ayom. He said that I should write a Shuva about how people can make good for what happened, how they can do Shuva, what are the steps of Shuva to do for such a situation. Uvifrat Al HaNoshim Shehachim Lavazos B'mo Yideim Esatur. How about for the people that actually did it with their own hands? There's two separate Shailas here. Number one, for the people that did not give up their lives and were Machal Hashem Shemayim. Number two, for the people that were standing by and watching it. What's the din? L'kirara ula ola ba'efer karna v'chein al kol toshvei ha-ghetto shalaz neim higiyah ha-shmua. How about the people that heard about it, who didn't actually experience it, but they heard about it? What's the story? Lo tova al bizayin taras das yomim ki ha-kol rab ze osman ha-shamayim she-yatza ha-ketzav ha-kol ha-eida v'lachem n'naray she-kulam yikabla aleim tainas u-tshuva v'yapilu t'chinasam lefnei shochem ma'ona she-yirachem al-amo. Yamar the Satan Harifu Lamashkas Yamar Dai. Fine. The Yosha is Takva Lagaiva de Kabna Machalaso. Since the Dvar of Rome was very sick at the time, he was not able to deal with the Shaila. Hitalalai Lai Medaber. He asked me, Rabbi Fraim Ashri, he asked him to look into the Shuva. Ula Acher Ha'iyun, Lahakli Kadaz Malasos, Bechal Nagelu Tikkanat Shuva, Vachrezes Satanis, Kedila Amitz Berabim, Koshalos, Ula Amitz Lev Hanidkaim, Hamu'unim Yoshvi Hagero. So, the Dvar Avram requested from Rabbi Ephraim Ashri, supposedly, that he should go ahead and write up a tshuva about what the process should be to get over such a scenario. So we're going to analyze this shaila on our own. What is supposed to be done when a Sefer Torah is ripped or a Sefer Torah is burned? Rahmana Litzlan, sometimes you have a shul. Forget about the story of the Nazis for a minute. Sometimes you have a shul, Rahmana Litzlan, so there's an electrical fire, something happens, and the whole shul burns down. And some Sefer Torah burned as well. So what's the story? What are we supposed to do in such a case? What's the protocol? So that's question number one. Question number two, let's say a person, for some reason, a Sefer Torah, sometimes you have people do Hagwa, you hear of Shailas like this, and the Sefer Torah rips in half, right? You do it on a Tefira, the Mechaber says he's supposed to do Hagwa on one of the seams. So let's say a guy picks it up, he tries to be such a macho, and he's doing so well at his Hagwa, and he pulls so hard that he rips apart the Sefer Torah. So what are you supposed to do in such a case? And three, is the shaila comes up also all too often that on, let's say, Simchas Torah, we give Sefer Torah to children. Sometimes the Sefer Torah are way too heavy for the children. We think it's a Kavadat Torah for some reason to give it to them, even though it's the biggest bizayon. So we give it to the kids, and they drop it. And people are quickly turning around. They don't want to look. They don't want to this. They don't want to that. So what's the story? Sefer Torah Shenafal, Sefer Torah Shenikra, Sefer Torah Shenisraf. What's the deal with all these things? So let's start the sugya as follows. The sugya starts with the Gemara in Moed Kandaf Chavav Menal. Says the Gemara, Amar of Chelba, Amar of Huna, Haroah Sefer Torah, She Nikra. Says the Gemara, let's underline that word. A person who sees a Sefer Torah that rips, so says the Gemara, Chayiv Lekroah Shtei Kriyas. The Gemara says very clearly, this is only a halacha. When is he Chayiv to rip Kriya? When he sees a Sefer Torah that rips into two pieces. Why is he Chayiv to rip two Kriyas? Number one, says the Gemara, he has to rip Kriya once al Agvil, Ve'echad al Aksav. He has to rip Kriya once on the fact that the actual parchment of the Sefer Torah was ripped into two pieces. Number two, he has to rip Kriya on the Ksav, on the Osios that were written, B'kdusha v'tahara, he has to rip Kriya on that as well. Shenemar. How do we know that a person must rip Kriya on such a terrible story? Acharei Sorof HaMelech HaSamigilav Esadvarim, because we have a story in Yirmiyah that there was a Sefer Echa that was ripped into two pieces, and even though it was only one Sefer, it was just a Sefer Echa, it was a Megillah, still he ripped Kriya. Rabbi Rav Huna Bar Chia, interesting story. The Gemara says, "Habi Yasvi Kamei Rabbi, Boy Lafnuye." So he had to go use the restroom. So what did he do? Obviously, he took off his tefillin. You're not allowed to take them with you into the bathroom. Shakle l'totefte. He took off his tefillin and he put them down. Achle Abe Sadia. He put it down on the steps and he was going to put them back on after he came back to the Beis Medrash. Asayi Basna Imta. There was a big bird that came. Ba Lemivle. The bird came and wanted to eat up his tefillin. Grabbed his tefillin by the ritzuas and wanted to eat them. Amar, so he responded, Hashto yichayvelin shtir kriyas. Ay, bay, what a bizayin. The Gemara says over here that whenever a person sees a Sefer Torah that rips into two pieces, he's chayv to rip Kriya. The simple understanding is, because it's such a bizarre Torah, so he has to rip Kriya on that. So he said over here the same thing. I left my tefillin in a place where it was a terrible bizarre, obviously. An animal came, almost ate them up. So he says, now I'm chayv to rip two Kriyas. You hear any difference? That's one difference. But he says, here's the difference. The Gemara says a more fundamental difference. Amar lei min halacha, what are you talking about? You don't have to rip Kriya. What? No, so one second. So the Gemara says, "V'habi didi, habi yuvda, v'asoy the kamei d'rab mas, nava lo habi bi, adei asoy the kamei d'rab yud, v'amali hachi, amr shmol lo yamru, ela bizroyo, chumay se shahaya." Says the Gemara, the only time a person's chayv to rip kriya on a sefer Torah shenikra is, what?
The person does it. It's not somebody's...
When a person does it on purpose, when he rips it apart, let's say it's lav dafka a person versus an animal. Let's say I send in an animal to go eat up a sefer Torah on purpose. So that also I would have to rip kriya. Why? Because when it's done for the purpose of bizayin ha-Torah, when it's done for the purpose of bizayin ha-Kadosh Baruch Hu, so then a person has to rip kriya. But if it's just so happens, let's say your tefillin, you know, something happens to them, they rip, or something else, they sometimes tefillin can corrode, right? Sometimes the letters can wash off or whatever it might be. So we wouldn't say a person has to rip kriya. That wasn't done bizro, that was not done with intention to make a bizayin ha-Torah. So therefore, we assume, the Gemara says, that's a maskana, we assume that the only time a person has to rip kriya is when it happened, kemaisa shahaya, when it happened bizro. Says the Rishalmi, and this is the way the Rif and the Rush quoted as well, the same exact girsa with the whole story and everything, but the Rishalmi's girsa is, haroya sefer Torah shenisraf. The Rishalmi's girsa is not haroya sefer Torah shenikra, haroya sefer Torah shenisraf. The Rishalmi assumes that sefer Torah shenikra rips into two pieces, I can go sew it back again. Sefer Torah shenisraf, that's when a person has to rip kriya, because that's a terrible thing, that the Sefer Torah burned up, and now everything is lost. So it sounds from the Yerushalmi, this is the way the Rishonim point out, that the only time I have to rip kriya is when it burns, and not when I have a Sefer Torah that just rips into two pieces. Says the Taz in Yerodeah Simon Shin Mem. This halacha is quoted in Yerodeah Simon Shin Mem, which is Hilchas Kriya, Chele Gimel Yerodeah, right before Hilchas Avela. So the Taz over there comments, Mashma Davka Besreifa. The Taz quotes that from the fact that the Mechaber quotes the way the Yerushalmi has it, it sounds that the only time I have to rip Kriya is when the Sefer Torah is actually burnt. If the Sefer Torah gets ruined in some other way, some other fashion, a person would not have to rip Kriya. Says the Taz, Lo Mashma Hachi B'Gemar Shalanu. The Gemara that I read in Ma'ikan Daf Chavav doesn't sound that way. Of Yerushalmi Yamru B'Lashon Zeh, the Yerushalmi says, Lo Yamru Ela Al Sefer Torah Shasal V'Melech Yisrael B'Zerala. Says the Taz that if you look carefully in the Yerushalmi writes that the only time I have to rip Kriya is when it was done by a Melech Yisrael uvizroa. When a Melech Yisrael got up and ripped the Sefer Torah on purpose. However, he says, the Yerushalmi says burned, but he's trying to explain why it's not, it's lav dafka burned, it's even if you ruin it. So one second, let's see. So he says, Hine al karchach Melech Yisrael lav dafka. The Beis Yosef agrees. If, let's say, a non-Jewish king goes into the Sefer Torah, goes into the Aron and rips the Sefer Torah or burns it, obviously, that would be the same. We would also have to rip Kriya on that. So he says, the same would apply. From the fact that Yerushalmi says, Sreva is also Lav Dafka. The same way that Yerushalmi says, Melech Yisrael. And we apply that to anyone who might go and make a Bizayin HaTorah. So too, we'll take the Yerushalmi and say it's Lav Dafka when we say that a Sefer Torah Shenisraf, it's Lav Dafka. Shenisraf, it's even Shenikra. A Sefer Torah that's ripped into two pieces, also you have to rip Kriya on that. And that's what the Taz quotes B'Shem Mari Chami. Anyone know who the Taz's father-in-law was? The Bach. Exactly. So he's quoting the Bach here, that a person would have to rip Kriya even when a Sefer Torah is ripped in half, not only when a Sefer Torah is burnt. So the Paiskim all quote that the obvious din is that it's only going to be when it's done bizro, when it's done with a lot of passion, when it's done to ruin the Sefer Torah. But if it's just happened stam, so you would not be mechuyev to rip kriya. So Rabbi Avadi Yosef writes in the Tshuva Zichavidas and Chelek Hei, Chelek Dalid, that there's an interesting story in the Gemara Nivamas. If you look at number 3, the Gemara Nivamas, that Tzadi Bava Mubeis, says a very strange story. There were two Amoraim who were fighting about something. The Gemara has a story there that they were fighting whether something is called Binyan on Shabbos, it's not called Binyan on Shabbos. The Gemara in the end of Hisha Rabbah. So the Gemara says, Lo kachaya maisa, bebeis haknesa shal Tiveria. There was a story in a shul in Tiveria, benagar sheyesh barosho glustera, shenechlu kobo rabbi Lazar, rabbi Yossi. There was a whole fight between rabbi Lazar and rabbi Yossi about this item, whether it's called binyan on Shabbos, if you put it into a doorway as a door stopper. Okay. So the Gemara says they had this big fight, and they got so heated in the argument, Achakar Sefer Torah b'chamasa. They went and ripped the Sefer Torah while they were arguing. Strange story. So the Gemara says, Karus al-Kadaitach, you think they took the Aron Sefer Torah out of the Aron and ripped it? Because they were angry at each other, doesn't make sense. So the Gemara says, Ala'eim Achakar Sefer Torah b'chamasa, meaning what? They're both trying to bring a riot from the same Chumash, so they both started pulling out the Chumash to bring their riot, and the next thing they knew, the Sefer Torah ripped in two pieces. Okay? So the Gemara says, that's what happened. Vayisham Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma Amar. Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma commented at the time, "Tameyani im lo yia bebeis haknesses zu avedes kachav mechein havi." He said, "Just give it a couple of years. This beis knesses will turn into a church. We'll be avdei avedazar. That's going to be the end of it, and that's it. Let's close up shop." And kachavi. A couple of years later, that's actually what happened, and that was the end of that beis haknesses and beis hamedrash. So Rabbi Avadi Yosef points out that the Gemara does not make mention of the fact that they ripped kriya. Why does the Gemara say that? They should have been so embarrassed that they just ripped the Sefer Torah, even though it wasn't on purpose. So he says they should have been so embarrassed they should have ripped Kriya. So says Rav Avadi, the answer is, since it was not done Mizro, they weren't doing it to be Mechal Shem Shemayim. They were doing it to be bringing a Raya from the Sefer Torah. So therefore, he says that that's his Raya from that Gemara in Yuvam Estav Sadivav, that the only time that I must rip Kriya on a Bizayin Sefer Torah is when it's done Mizro, when it's done with intention to actually ruin the Sefer Torah. But when there's not that type of intention involved in the activity, so then we say they would not have to rip Kriya even if the Sefer Torah ripped into two pieces. Says the Pesach Tshuva there in Siman Shin Mem, which is all Tichas Kriya. So the Pesach Tshuva writes over there in Sifkat Mechaf Aleph that there's a suffix in the Teferes Lamaisha. What's the din? Does a person have to rip Kriya even when he sees Sfarim or Gemaras that were burnt? Mm-hmm. Actually, someone told me today in Yeshiva that he went to Italy over Pesach. There was some program there. And he said there was a famous burning of Gemaras there. I forgot what the square, there's some square in Italy, some famous square, I don't know exactly what it is. So he said he went on a tour over Pesach, so they showed him this place where apparently in the 1500s there was a big public burning of Gemaras in the middle of the center square. So why did it happen? It's very ironic. It's a very strange story. What happened? It was two Catholics who owned... publishing companies. It was two different Catholics who owned publishing companies. They both printed sets of Shas. That's what it was? I thought Bamberg was Jewish. So what happened was, no, so that's a famous story that they wrote Shuvas about, whether you're allowed to print a set of Svarim that someone else already printed. Okay, that's a different story. But over here, they had two Christian printing companies. Right. One was printing the Shas. The other one outdid the first printer and made it a much fancier version, whatever it was. So the first printer was so angry at the second one because he was ruining all his business, he went one day and burned all the sets of shots in the center square. It wasn't even Mishum anti-Semitism, it was because of the business. Nothing to do with that. So then they raised the whole Shiloh. So this guy that I saw today said he went with his brother into that square with a whole set of Talmud Bavli, and they were learning there the whole afternoon to make up for that burning that happened in the 1500s. Okay, very nice. But he said that this, as we see in the history, over many different generations, this did happen in certain generations, certain times. We know in the times of the Rambam, they took the Mar Nevuchim and they made a big public burning of the Mar Nevuchim. So that's a suffix in the Pesach Tshuva Yerodei Siman Shin Mem. What's the halacha? Must a person rip Kriya also for the burning of Svarim and Gemaras, or is only for a Sefer Torah and Tefillin? So the Pesach Tshuva is not sure. He says B'Shem and Tiferes Hamashiach is not sure, but if you look in the Aruch HaShulchan Siman Shin Mem, he says that this would apply also for Gemaras and Sfarim. Why? Because to us, Gemaras are just as important as the Sefer Torah. We hold of Torah Shabbat Peh. We all learn the Gemaras. We all know it's a tremendous Chil Hashem Shemayim.
It doesn't make a difference if it's printed or written. I mean, Sefer Torah is written.
Oh, so he says, obviously, Sefer Torah has more Kedusha, but he says, in our eyes, it's just as much of an obla to burn a Gemara as it is to burn a Sefer Torah. To us, it's a tremendous...
It doesn't have Shemesh Rok's name.
It doesn't have Shem Hashem, but he says at the same time, it's such a disgrace. It's such a disgrace. Imagine, Chalila, a person would walk by and see a whole big burning garbage bin of Svarim. You know, he would go crazy from it. So he says, obviously, the Aruch HaShulchan writes that a person would rip Kriya in such a case, even on Gemaras and Svarim that were printed, and not only, it wouldn't be limited to Sifrei Torah and Tefillin. The Meiri writes over there in Ma'id Kandav Chavav, he says an interesting lashon. He says, Eino chayv lekrush de kriyos ela baraya. He says the only time a person's chayiv, like the Gemara says, he has to rip two kriyas. One is on the gvil and one is on the ksav. So, says the Meiri, the only time he has to rip two kriyas is when he actually saw it. But let's say I was Shama Me'acherim. I didn't happen to come to shul that day. I was home. And it happened to be in shul that day, someone got up to do Hagwa and ripped the Sefer Torah in half. Actually, that wouldn't count because that's not Bezroa. So what's the din? If let's say, whatever, a Nachri came in that day and he ripped the Sefer Torah in front of everyone. That's a strange story, but let's say it happened. So it says in Miri, Enochad Dekorat La'achas. So that's a very strange Miri. The Achrenim pick up on it. And they say it would seem from the Meiri's Lashon that a person who hears about a terrible avodah that's done also has to rip kriya. But they say, if you look carefully back in the Gemara in Mo'ikat and Daf Chavav, it says, Haroya Sefer Torah Shenikra. The Gemara says, only if I experience it, I see it. But if I happen to skip davening that day and I wasn't in shul, and I didn't see this thing happen, this terrible disgrace, it seems from the simple understanding of the Gemara that I would not have to rip kriya. They point out as well that the Gemara says in which we'll get back to in a few minutes, that the Gemara says, Ha'omed b'shas yitzias neshama. The Gemara says, if someone, Rahman al-Islam, is there in the room when a person passes away, so what's the halacha? He's chayiv l'kroa. Right? He's chayiv to tear kriya right then and there. Why? Because the Gemara says, l'maza doma l'sefer Torah shenisraf. The Gemara says, that's comparable to a sefer Torah that's nisraf, so to a person is also like a sefer Torah, in the same way you have to rip kriya on a sefer Torah, so to you have to rip kriya on yitzias neshama. What? Oh, one second. We're getting to that in a second. So the Gemara says over there clearly, the only time a person's chayv to rip kriya on yitzias and sham is if he's there in the room. If he doesn't actually see it, so he doesn't. I had actually two interesting shilohs that came up with this. It's crazy. I happen to have been in two different instances when someone passed away. I was there. So one was in the Mir Yeshiva when Rabbi Elia Baruch Finkel passed away. So I happened to sleep in the dorms right on top of him. So he had a heart attack in the middle of the night. Hatzalah was there trying to resuscitate him. It was a whole long story, but basically we ended up with a minion in his room, and we were mekabel malch shamayim. It was a whole story. So basically, we were there in the room when the yitzias neshama actually happened. We watched it happen. So the question was, were we supposed to rip kriya or not? So I had remembered from the Gesher Achaim, no one was up. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. There were no Rosh Yeshiva. I remember they didn't want to tell anyone because they didn't want Rav Nosson Tzvi to get sick from it. So the decision was they're not going to wake any Rosh Yeshiva. So they didn't. So here we were, a bunch of young guys. It was actually funny. Rabbi Willig actually passed in the shadow for the whole Mir Yeshiva that night. Because the Mir has tunnels that go underground between one building and the next so that they have a kitchen that they could just roll things through. So there was a Shiloh, do we need to wake up the Kohanim in the building across the street that has a tunnel underneath? So who are we going to call? It's 3 o'clock in the morning, so there's no one to call. So everyone said, I should call my father. So I called my father. He was on a train coming back from Baltimore. So I called Rabbi Willig. So he passed in the shadow for the whole Mir Yeshiva that night. He told us where to tape up and what to do. So that was basically what happened. But the other question we had was what to do about the Shas Yitzias Neshama. We were all young guys. All of us were 20 years old. And who thought we would ever be at a Yitzias Neshama? And here we are stuck in the middle of the night without anyone to ask the shadow, are we supposed to rip kriya or not? All in our pajamas, actually. So that was the shadow. What are we supposed to do? So
it's too late once you ask.
Oh, it's too late once you ask unless you stay there, right? Haraya. What? Right, so you're saying you don't have the feeling anymore. You're not as taken by it. Once an hour or two passes by and you ask, either you have that hargish or you don't. So as it turns out, the Gesher HaChaim writes, it says clearly in Shulchan Aruch that Ha'omed b'shas yitzias neshama has to rip kriya. Says the Gesher HaChaim, which is the law book of all of Hilchos Avelos. So Gesher HaChaim writes that b'zman hazeh we have the minig not to rip kriya. Why? Because we're concerned that since people are going to lose their shirt or their suit, so we're concerned that people are not going to want to take care of the mace close to the time of death because they're not going to want to ruin their suit. So he says, that being the case, we have the minhag nowadays that we don't rip kriya. He says, for example, the chevras ha-hatzalah. Let's say you have people on hatzalah. So they go take care of people, Rahman al-Islam, they're always taking care of people with heart attacks. And very often they see people die. So what are you going to say? Every time the guy's going to have to rip his shirt, he's never going to want to go on a hatzalah call again. He's never going to want to answer a call that a guy had a heart attack. So therefore, the Gesher HaChaim says, our minhag is that we try, that even though the Shulchan Aruch says he's supposed to rip kriya, he says, our minhag is that we don't rip kriya b'shas yitzias neshama. But he says, if it's a tremendous Talmid Chacham and it's his Talmidim, so then you're supposed to rip kriya. The Gesher HaChaim says, why? Because we're not concerned that the Talmidim or the close family members are going to run out of the room when the yitzias neshama is actually happening. So therefore he says, the minhag is, if it's just an outsider, you know, a nurse, a doctor, there's a very halach l'maisa shayla for a doctor or a nurse. Are they supposed to rip kriya every time a patient dies or not? So the halacha generally is that they should not, or a hatzalah member also should not, but if a person is a unbiased party, I mean, if he's very close to the nifter, let's say, a child is supposed to wait for the levaya. But if he's...
Isn't it all the krovim
supposed to wait for levaya? Not all the krovim rip kriya by the levaya. The ones who rip kriya by Levi are supposed to wait. But if, let's say, you have other people there. I was at the hospital in Columbia once. It was a very sad story. A boy in YU passed away very young. So I happened to be in the hospital with my father at the time when it happened. And we were standing behind the glass door. We were not actually in the room. So even though we were there and my father was paskening the shilas for an hour or two before it happened, so we did not rip kriya because we actually were not in the room. We didn't watch the Yitzias Neshama happen. So whatever, it's a complicated halacha, but basically the halacha is that if a person is going to be ripping kriya, he's one of the very close krovim who's going to be ripping kriya by the levaya, then he's supposed to wait for the levaya. If he's an outside party, so then we assume that he's supposed to rip kriya right then, mishas Yitzias Neshama. Unless he's a doctor, a nurse, or a hatzala member who will be deterred from taking any calls or caring for a patient anymore. And therefore, my father had told us at the time that we did wrong. We should have ripped kriya when we were there, b'shas Yitzias Neshama in Eretz Yisrael, when the Rosh Hashiva died. But he says that generally the halacha would be most people do not rip kriya when they're there, b'shas Yitzias Neshama. So the Radvaz writes, getting back to where we are, so the Gemara says in Ma'ariv Katan Daf Chafei that the Gemara makes an equation between Omen b'shas Yitzias Neshama has to rip kriya, just like Ha'omen b'shas Rias Srefa Sefer Torah also has to rip kriya. So the Gemara equates those two dinim. So the Radbaz says, what's the din if a person, like you asked, what's the din if a person on Shabbos or Yom Tov sees his Yitzias Neshama? So is he supposed to rip kriya or not? So obviously he's not allowed to rip kriya on Shabbos itself. Right. That's Pasha. But the Radbaz itself is, are you supposed to rip after Shabbos?
Well, yeah, but this goes back to the question we replied to you. The emotion may not be there that minute, but do you have the emotion after?
Exactly. So says the Radbaz, there's only a chi of kriya b'shas chimum, when I have that emotional state of being.
To kriya afterwards.
Right. It's only when I have that feeling, when I'm so shocked by what just happened, so then I rip kriya. So says the Radbaz, if a person, Rahman al-Islam, is in the hospital when the person passes away and it happens to be Shabbos or Yom Tov, so we don't say that after Shabbos he should rip kriya. We say that he forgets about it because it's not b'shas chimum any longer. So it says that Teferes L'Moshe, which is quoted by the Pesach Tshuva in very often in Hilchos Avelos, says that Teferes L'Moshe that the same would apply if a Sefer Torah Rachman al Tzan Shenisraf on Shabbos or Shenikra on Shabbos. Some type of terrible situation happens on Shabbos, so the din is you're generally supposed to rip kriya. But he says that the halacha is if it happens on Shabbos, so then you do not have to rip kriya after Shabbos because you're not a raya Sefer Torah Shenisraf anymore. The Sefer Torah that the Sefer Torah that was ripped or burned is not going to affect me as much after Shabbos as it did on Shabbos itself when it happened. So therefore, I do not rip kriya. However, they point out, Chacham Tzvi writes in Siman Yud Zayin, he has a whole tshuva about this, that if a person is not there, similarly he says, if a person is not in the room when it actually happens, he does not have to rip kriya. Because if he just hears from someone else, it obviously does not impact him as much, and he's not as taken by the story. So therefore, the din generally is, as we assume, that a person who is not there to experience a terrible thing that happened would not have to rip kriya.
Is there a time period as how many minutes after?
Shas chimam? You know, a person feels what the what the feeling is, generally. Okay, so now let's just move a little bit on to...
You would rip on the right side?
What?
You would rip on the right side.
So I think we say al aviv al imo, he's supposed to rip keneged alev on the left, but I think on anything else you're able to rip on either. The Gemara even says, let's say on Kriyan Yushalayim, so a person's allowed to take the same shirt and rip twice.
Yeah, he could do the left.
He could do the left and he could do the right. He could do both.
Yeah, he could do both.
Right. What's the story if a person goes to the Kotel on Shabbos?
Yep.
So he doesn't rip Kriyan Shabbos, so what does he do during the week?
Depends if you go on Erev Shabbos in the afternoon, though many people say you shouldn't.
Thank you. Erev Shabbos in the afternoon is a big mistake.
Exactly. I serve inside.
Yet
the minute Olam, that's why I wonder if that's why. The minute Olam is down to Rich on Shabbos, Erev Shabbos in the afternoon.
It's a Shver minute. It makes no sense. But Moshe writes that it's a minute toast.
Okay. However, I heard if you're dressed in Shabbos clothing by then you don't have to necessarily.
Okay. That could be different. But a lot of people go Shabbos afternoon, I mean Friday afternoon, you know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon to Daven Mincha, and they say, oh, we'll get off easy.
What?
I don't know if I asked for advice on that. Maybe I will ask him. I don't know if I asked him about
that. I don't know. Rav Moshe writes that it's a mistake. And the reason the mistake crept in is from Erev Pesach. Because on Erev Pesach, we know after Chatzos, it's already considered a Yantiv. So some people said, Erev Shabbos, every Erev Shabbos is also a Yantiv, so you don't have to rip Kriya. It's a mistake. Erev Pesach after Chatzos is a Yantiv, and you don't rip Kriya because it's already considered a Shtikl Yantiv. But regularly on an Erev Shabbos, we do not consider it to have a special status. You can go eat your piece of kugel and have a nice time. But, we don't assume that a person is exempt from ripping kriya.
I don't understand. you see a Sushama, you would say that the minhag is not to do it anymore. And you go to, you know, to the Koto, and people go 3, 4, 5, 10 times a year, then you're still going to be doing Korea? Yeah.
Well, it's not going to deter anyone from going.
But his point is
that's
very
not
well
the first
taken.
Time you went there.
Maybe
it's always not there.
Oh, you're saying that b'shas yitzias neshama you only do it when it's really a shas chimum. Mm-hmm. She's saying over here, you don't. So it's interesting. Rav Avadia actually has a tshuva, my father told me. I've been looking for it. I can't find it. It could be he heard it bal peh. He said he wasn't sure if he saw it once or he heard it when he came to YU 20-something years ago. Rav Avadia had a tshuva about video cameras on the Kotel. They have a Kotel cam? So he says that if a person watches the Kotel on the Kotel cam, he's in New York and he watches something that's going on there. So what do you rip kriya on that? So everybody says, obviously not. Why? Because I don't have the feeling of Avelis when I see it through a camera, when I see it through the video. It doesn't make sense. So everybody says, no. Okay, that's not such a big chiddush. Everybody's bigger chiddush is that if I go to the Kotel within 30 days of when I saw it on the camera, I also don't rip kriya. Why? Because he says, because I already saw it a little bit, so I'm not so hurt. I'm not so shocked by it.
So now that's what you're saying. When you go to Eretz Yisrael, say,
exactly. That's what my father said. That's what he said. It's a new Eitzel.
Never heard that.
That's what he said. According to Rabbi Avadia, you go on the video camera right before you go to Eretz Yisrael. I don't know if it's correct or not. My father said it's highly questionable. Interesting chiddush. Yeah, he said it's Rabbi Avadia's chiddush. Very questionable, but it could be that he's correct.
I've never seen anybody with Korea.
What do you say?
I do it all the time.
You've never seen anyone?
I've never seen
it. Why?
I don't know. I mean, I've just...
You've never done it?
I personally not.
Wow. I don't know. Why not? I don't know. It's Beferish and Shulchan Aruch twice. It's in Yerodeah and Shimem. What? Really? Yeah. Right. I don't know. The general practice is you're supposed to rip kriya. Okay, whatever it is. So now, let's move on to a little more of a unfortunate but also common scenario, which is the dropping of a Sefer Torah. So what's the story with dropping a Sefer Torah? The Magen Avraham and Siman Mem Dalid writes, tefillin that fall down, or a Sefer Torah that falls down, a person is supposed to fast. Period. Magen Avraham doesn't explain, where is he coming from, what's the makor of this minhag, what's the story, what's going on, how much is he supposed to fast? You look in the Tzitzel Eliezer Chelek Yud, he has like a 10 chapters about this, about what exactly, where all the Menhagim came from, how many days he's supposed to fast, how that. So let's see as follows. The Chida writes in his Tshuvas Chaim Sha'ol as follows. That's number 4. Says the Chida, Ad Sha'ata Sha'aleinim Haro'a Chayv Lehisanos. Before you get into the discussion whether someone who sees a Sefer Torah that falls down has to fast, Ayikra Dedina Had Pshita Lach L'chal Hamon Yisrael Shemisha Hayvi Yad Sefer Torah V'nafal Sha'chayv Lehisanos. You're taking it as a simple assumption that a Sefer Torah that falls down, we have to fast. Where do you get that from? Let me point out to you, says the Chida, that this does not appear anywhere in Shas or in the Rishonim. It's a much later minig that was started. Amnam, he says, I'm not here to be mizalzel in the minig Yisrael. Minig Yisrael, shagaman shir yiplu miyadu ha-tfilin nisanet. He says, like in Magen Avraham says, that even if a person's tefillin fall down, he also fasts. Says the Magen Avraham, he points out, obviously this is something that we need to make very clear, Magen Avraham Sinman Mem Dalad quotes B'Shem the Mishpatei Shmuel, I have no idea who that is. So Magen Avraham writes, he was obviously a Kadmon, so the Magen Avraham says, this is the minhag to fast, even when your tefillin fall on the floor, but he says, there's one difference. When the tefillin fall on the floor, if they're in the bag, so our minhag is not to fast, because the bag is enough to hold it. But if the Sefer Torah falls on the floor, even if it's in the cover should be the same as the tefillin bag. Why should we say it's any different? So the Magen Avraham says, no, the Kedusha Sefer Torah is higher than the Kedusha HaTfilin, so therefore if the Tfilin fall down on the floor in the bag, so a person wouldn't fast. If the Sefer Torah falls down on the floor, even if it's covered, you also would have to fast in such a case.
Well, the Tfilin in the bag, you don't even really know if it's really in the bag. It's a covered item. The Sefer Torah, you'll always know that it's a Sefer Torah.
How does the Tfilin have the top on it? If the Tfilin is not uncovered, it's not covered. Would that be the same casement?
I think we assume the cases, if they fall in the cases...
You take the tefillin in the bag into the place of the
case. Right, that the Gemara says only in a case where it's going to be covered to the tefillin, because if you leave them outside, someone's going to steal them and be mevazah them.
Right. You can't take the Sefer Torah.
Right. Anyway, so that's the Magen Avraham.
You fast the day that it occurs, or...
Yeah, you're supposed to fast right there.
For the rest of the day.
Yeah. Okay, so here we go. So the Gemara, so says the Chidon is Tshuva Chaim Shaul. He says, He says it makes sense. Why should a person fast? Because a zilzal of a Sefer Torah happened because of something that I did. Lonis Barbashas of a Pesach. He says, as much as I think it's a very nice thing to do, he says, this is not found in Shas or in Pesachim that I've looked into. So this is already quoted in the Kapas Tamarim on Sukkah Daf Mem Aleph. So therefore, says the Chida, Haroim ein lechayvim b'tainis shahrei gabi haroa sefer Torah shenisraf lo amru ela b'zora uchamaisa shahaya. By a sefer Torah that falls down, we say the only time a person is chayv to fast is when it was done b'zora, when it was done on purpose to be mevazit. V'nehi shami shenafel sefer Torah miyadu tov sheyisaneh. He says if a sefer Torah falls from someone's hands, even if it's not to be mevazit the sefer Torah, a person should try to fast as well. That's what he points out. Someone who just watches the Sefer Torah fall down, maybe, says the Chida, maybe we don't need to take the Chumrah that far, maybe he doesn't have to fast. Maybe it's only the person himself who dropped it, who caused the Bizayin of Sefer Torah. Panira Od, Shemikivan Shalonizka Bashan Saposkim Shemishanafla Tfilmi Yadu Sheisane, Yesh Lahakal Tshushe Koch. He says someone who's a weak person who doesn't do well in fasting, so maybe we can be makel for him, and he doesn't have to fast. Instead, Mishabura quotes this also, B'shem the Magen Avraham, that a person who is weak, which is most of us, so you should not fast, just give some stucca. It doesn't say exactly how much, but whatever it is. He says there was a community where the Rav made a tainus on everyone, and the Ivra Shirav Shemakam Lefiro, Sein of Yigzer, Yisakim Kudeshi, Yisharu Laosid, Va'akol Lefi Makom Vashatu. So he says, obviously, every Rav has to decide what's appropriate for his community. So where exactly is the first makar of this for fasting when there's a bizayin on Sefer Torah? So the first makar that the Achronim bring is from the Yerushalmi in Soita Perek Zayin Halacha Dalid, as quoted in the Ramban on Chumash. There are different gersayos in the Yerushalmi. If you actually look up the real Yerushalmi, it says a little bit differently. But the Ramban on Chumash, this is a quote from the Ramban on Chumash. That's where I took this from. So the Yerushalmi says, Ara asher lo yakum es divrei HaTorah azos. The Gemara says, we curse a person who lo yakum es divrei HaTorah azos. What does that mean? He doesn't stand up this Torah. So the Yerushalmi says, v'chi yesh Torah nofeles? Is there such a thing as a Torah that falls and I didn't pick it up? What does that mean? So Shimon ben Yakum omer, zeh hachazen shu omid. Little strange lashon, ambiguous. What does it mean? Pir sharaman al HaTorah in Parshas Kisavo, ratzal omer. Zeh hachazen sheino mekim es sifrei HaTorah. L'hamidon kitiknon shelo yiplu. We have a tine on the gabai. If a Sefer Torah falls down from the Aron, so we have a tine on the Gabbai, Ara Asher Lo Yakum, he has an Aron, because he should have made sure that the Sefer Torah were secure, and were safe, and they weren't going to fall. Says the Rambam, Shem the Yerushalmi, that's the person that we have a tine on when a Sefer Torah falls down. Okay, so that's the earliest source that they quote from this, is based on that Yerushalmi. Interesting source, not clear that that's actually a source, because the Yerushalmi really doesn't have that girsa. The Ramban is the one that has the girsa like that. If you look in Rabbi Avadia's Tshuva, which I have here, number 6, Rabbi Avadia just points out something that's very important. In Chelek Beis and Yabia Omer, Rabbi Avadia writes, Nir lefiyah niyas daiti, shem ir lemalami tinoka shenafel sefer Torah miyadu. Let's say the person who dropped the sefer Torah and who has the minhag to fast happens to be a teacher, a school teacher in school, for young children. Yesh lefatra min hatainus. Says Rabbi Avadia, a person in that type of profession should not fast even if he drops the sefer Torah. Kadesh lo yimayit b'melech ha-shamayim. Because if he's going to be weak, and he's not going to do his job properly, and the kids are going to be screaming and stepping all over him all day because he's weak. So he says, that's not right. So says Rabbi Avadia, obviously this doesn't mean that on Tisha B'Av I shouldn't fast because I happen to be a teacher. So he says, since over here it's just a minig, and it's something that we're not really sure about the source for, so therefore he says, it's better that a person in that type of profession should not fast. That's the way he suggests. He says such a person should just give tzedakah instead. It doesn't help anything if the Talmud Chacham is going to fast, but then he's going to sit in bed all day because he can't learn. So therefore he says, it's better for the Talmud Chacham not to fast. He says that a person who's hired by someone else should not go and fast during the day because he's not going to do his work as well as he's supposed to. Rabbi Yochanan Azal Echad Atar Ashkach Safra Einus. He saw that there was a person who was a teacher who was Einus, who was fasting. So he asked his teacher, the school children, the teacher of the school children, why are you fasting? Amar lahu, ma kein, what's going on? Amar lahu, tzayim, I'm fasting. Amar lahu, asur lach, you're not allowed to fast. Why? Umay malachas basar v'dam, at amar da asur malachas shakadosh baruch hu lekol shekein. If the Yerushalmi says, if I work for someone else, I'm not allowed to fast because I'm not going to do the work as effectively, so you're hired by the Rabbanu Shalom, you're teaching the children. So how can you fast? Therefore he told them, you're not allowed to fast. And that's what the Ramah Paskins and Chayshim Mishpat, Simon Shin Lam and Gimel Sif Hey as well. And then Rabbi Vadi obviously points out that's only on a tainus that's Misham Minig. Let's say a tainus Chalom or a tainus something else like this. But let's say you have a real tainus Tisha B'Av or Asar B'Tevis. So we don't say that every school teacher is obviously exempt because that would make the whole tainus into a joke. Okay, so that's just a little bit about what to do about fasting when it comes to dropping Sifrei Torah. The Divrei Chaim and Siman Aleph in his Tshuva also has a long, long arichas about this. Basically, it depends on the minig ha-makom. If, Rachmanu L'Tzlan, this ever happens, you have to figure out the Rav has to be koveya. Hakol lefi makom mishah. What is the proper steps of tshuva for such a congregation? But it seems clear in the Mishnah Berurah that for those of us who are weak, we can simply give tzedakah, and that would be just as good, if not better, than the tainus itself, because we'll go on with our daily lives, we'll make sure that we're keeping mitzvahs as strictly as we're supposed to, and we'll give the tzedakah just to be a kapara for the bizarre natar that happened.
The question is, who's the tainus? The guy who lifts it up like a big shot and then it falls? But a gabbai gave the wrong guy the hadbar.
I remember when I was in Ar Yisrael, I know it's a little extreme, but Rabbi Tendler, who was the principal of the high school, in 12th grade, you were only allowed to do hagbah in 12th grade. That was the minig. I never did hagbah in my life. I'm not that type of person. So I remember that in Ner Yisrael, he would bring in all the 12th graders who wanted to do hagbah tryouts in his office.
Smart.
First week of school, he would take everyone in and say, okay, you want to be a macho, it's fine. You want to be a macho, it's okay. Come to my office first, and all of you will try it first, you know? And he would stand there next to you, make sure you didn't drop it. If you passed, you passed. If not, forget it. You were done for hagbah for the year. So it was a very interesting thing. It sounds a little childish. Well, in 12th grade, you are still a child. But at the same time, it makes a lot of sense because it's not so simple when you're mevazeh satar, if it falls down, it's a question, who's achrayi? The gabbai might be achrayi. Like you're saying, the gabbai might be achrayi for getting some clown to do the hagba when he knows he can't really do it properly. When it comes to kavod of a sefer Torah, so the Rambam paskins, like the next thing we have on the sheet, paragid alacha, yud and hilcha sefer Torah, the Rambam says, lo yar kadam keneged sefer Torah, lo yigal arvasa kenegdo, lo yifsha raglov, lo yanichena arosha kamasui. Person has to treat it without respect. Then says the Rambam, lo yachzer achor of the Sefer Torah, person is not allowed to turn his back. Frek the tazan yorodeyasim and reish pei beis, I don't understand. How do you say you're not allowed to turn your back? How does the rabbi give a drasha every Shabbos and he stands with his back to the Aron?
The doors are closed.
Doors are closed, so what?
So it's not, you don't have to stand up.
So says the Taz very similar. The Taz writes, it's a chalek rishus la'atzmo. The Sefer Torah is now standing in the Aron. The Aron is a separate rishus. I don't have to worry about that. The doors are closed. It's a whole separate thing. Let's say it just has a curtain. No doors. Still, says the Taz, no, that's a separate rishus. The Ramah similarly writes in Reish Pei Beis that the bima used to be considered a rishus bifnei atzmo. And therefore, if the Sefer Torah is up on the bima, I'm allowed to sit down. That was in the days when the bimas were elevated platforms and had a whole... Anyone ever went to Beis Knesset HaRizal?
Take a look at the old shuls. The Rav's seat was not in front of the was up on the stand.
Right, on the side, right. But the question is, when he gives the drasha, so how does he stand up and give the drasha, connect the Sefer Torah? How does he let it do that? That's the question. So the Ramah Paskins and Shulchan Aruch, if let's say you have a bima like this, this is not a flat bima straight to the ground. So obviously this would not count as a chalak rishus la'atzmo. Therefore, if the Sefer Torah is here, we don't consider that a separate rishus. However, the Ramah is talking about a case where the bima used to be an elevated platform, so then we assume that's a separate rishus because it has gates around it or whatever it is, that's something separate. So that's why the Taz writes it's mutter. The Aruch HaShulchan, however, writes over here, in Yarodeya Simon Reish Pei Beis, that you don't need to come onto the Taz's teretz about Rishus La'atzmo. The answer is that wherever it's a Bizayin HaTorah, that's the place where it's Usr. The Rambam says over here, I have to be Mechabed the Sefer Torah. That's why I'm not permitted to turn my back to the Sefer Torah. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, the Rav is getting up and saying over Divrei Torah. That's a Kavod HaTorah. So he says there's no problem for him to turn his back to the Sefer Torah because he's just trying to be Mechabed HaTorah. So he says in such a case there would be no concern at all.
Isn't there also then I read somebody that the only time you really have to say is when the Sefer Torah is moving, when it's working. I mean if it's stationary, if just the Aron is open, you don't have to necessarily stand.
Right. So it's a question, why do we stand by the Piyutim on, let's say, Ne'ilah? Why do we stand by Ne'ilah?
Right.
So that's a question. So the Art School Siddur, I looked it up today. Art School Machzor, which is a Pesach Achron, obviously in America. Art School Machzor writes, it's a nice, basically, Tabal of Bracha if you stand for the whole Neilah. So I happen to be the Baal Tefillah in YU on Yom Kippur, and I can't move by Neilah. I always sit the whole Neilah. I stand just for the Yud Gimel Midos. I can't even breathe afterward. So I asked my father about it. He said, listen, you know, like that's obviously the only way you're going to make it through the rest of the time is just to sit, because you were knocked out from the davening that you just davened. So then obviously over here, it's not, you're not mechuyev to stand up in the first place, right? Because the Sefer Torah is stationary in the Aron, and it's not right. Such a serious problem at all.
I don't remember people standing 40, 50 years.
Really? It's a more recent thing? I don't know. I wasn't here 40 years ago.
Uh-huh. They had
a string. Everything was closed.
Always both doors.
Okay. Anyway, so that's just a little bit to pay tribute to Yom HaShoah. This was just a little bit of an interesting topic that we discussed. And if you look at the back page, I just want to point out one final thought, which is from Rav Asher Weiss. And he used to say this every single year, a really, really beautiful shot in the Gemara. The Gemara says as follows, in paragraph number 2, Hinei Shoninu. Everyone have it? It's Shin Sadiches, Hinei Shoninu. So the Gemara says in Rav Elazar, Daf Yud Ches, a famous story, Tana Rabbanu, Kishachala Rav Yosef, and Kisma, Halar Chav Chanina, Ben Chanin, Levakro. So his Talmud came to visit him. Amar lo Chanina, Achi, my brother, Chanina, Iyata Yodea, Sha'omra, Zu, Sha'um, Zu, Mena, Shamayim, Him, Lichua, Sheikh Riva, Space, Vesarfa, Sechala, Baharga, Chasida, Baharga, Togab, Vadaini Kayamas, Vanishamati Alecha, Shati Yoshiv, Osip, Batara, Maka, Kilazram, Sefetara, Munach, Lachabachekecha. How could it be that you're still learning Torah, you're still teaching Talmidim? What's the story here? Amar lo min ha-shamayim yirachamu d'shav rachmanos ami. Nu, what can I do? I'm teaching the Talmidim because I have no choice. Amar lo, he said, Ani amar lecha d'varam shal tam, atar amar li d'varam min ha-shamayim yirachamu. Tamei ani im lo yusufu oscha v'asefet tar ba'esh. You're sitting and saying, I'll have emuna, don't worry, they're not going to catch me. What do you mean? Don't be a fool. Don't give shir when there's a pogrom going on outside. Cancel the shir. Forget about it. So he says, what can I do? I'm sorry, min ha-shamayim. You know, it's like these people who always say, yeah, the Ron Shalom will figure it out. You have to do some sort of ishtablis to make sure that Ron Shalom doesn't have to figure it out, that he doesn't have to do some sort of... Ah, interesting.
I mean, he always gets
into
these problems.
Interesting. Okay, Amru, I didn't think of that. Amru, lo hayu yamu muatim atchen nifter, Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma. Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma was killed. Was he one of the Asar Rugi Malchus? I think he was one of them. Fine, so then he was doing the same thing. So let's go a little more. So then they killed Rabbi Chanina ben Tradu. Then he says, the last line, Amr lo Talmido. So when he was actually going out to be killed, famous line over here, which we quote in the Kinnus, what does he say? Rabbi Ma to Omer, what do you see? Amr Lahem, he says, Gvil Nisrafim Va'osius Parchas Ba'avir. Okay, so that's the Lashon HaGemar. Frektos is Akasha. Ma Taraya, ask the Talmidim. Your Rebbe was just wrapped up in a Sefer Torah and burned by the Romans, and you're going and asking Ma Taraya? What do you mean, what does he see? He sees the Romans killing him. What do you want him to say? He sees that there's a terrible decree on the world, and he's the one who's suffering. What should he say? So what's the question? So says the Tosfos, what they ask him? So they assumed he was probably having some nevuah. He was a big Tana. Maybe he was having nevuah at the time. Maybe seeing something strange, some sight behind what's happening, some reason for the gzeira, or malachim, or davar acher. Maybe someone's coming to speak to him. Maybe that's what he sees. Inami b'shvil shayishamim kala osios haparchas v'lohayyodim mahu. They heard the letters of the Sefer Torah that were flying up to Shamayim, whatever that means. And they asked him, What does it mean? What do you hear? What do you see? Okay, so that's what Tosfos says. So Rav Asher Weiss suggested his own pshat. They weren't just asking the simple question, Matara, what do you see with your eyes? Can't be. What do you mean, what do you see? You see that the Romans are killing me. So he says, he suggested as follows. They were asking him, what do you see? What's the pnimius of what's going on here? What do you see here? Hayamim hayyimei ever v'zam, yimei tziyav etzalmavish, egzeres kashas v'avdon. Ve'en l'chayom she'en kilasim ruba mishal chavarta. This was a time of utter destruction. Ve'hinei gadol adar asher amarnu b'tzilo nichya ola b'sar ha'shamayma. We always thought we would be saved because of Rav Chanina ben Tradion. And here we are, watching Rav Chanina ben Tradion himself be destroyed. So then, they asked him, Zakas hayyush bika mitoch libam hashavar. So now, They're crying out from the depths of their hearts. Rebbe, ma ata roe? What do you see now? Hayesh tikva l'achriseinu, hayesh schar l'pulaseinu, halo ketzon b'liro nishar manu? That's what they're asking him. What's the future of the Jewish people? Not ma ata roe, what do you see right now? What's your foresight? What do you see as being the future of the Jewish people? Anu Rav Chanina ben Tradun, al yipal ruchachem, al yerech levavchem. No one should feel bad. No one should get depressed. Yesh tikva l'achriseich, yesh schar l'pulaseich. Why? Because gvil nisrafim. Malchus haresha yecholo lisrof ulechalos eskufenu hamashul gvil shal sefer Torah. All the Romans can do is burn the outside, the goof of the person, like the sefer Torah. Ach nishmas ha'uma yisraelis eino bas kilion va'osios parchas ba'avir. That's what he told me. That was his message. That gvil nisrofin, they could come and they could burn us. They could take me and take away my life. But bottom line is, our neshama, our osios, are something that they can never take away. And then he continues and he says, how we know many of the Achronim quote the Nefesh HaChayim and the Kedushas Levi and the Pnei Yeshua quotes it also, that each Os in the Torah is connected to a person's neshama. Yesh Yishim Riba Osius LaTorah. We know that that's really not a true statement, right? As anyone knows, Rabbi Ephraim Zal Margolius has 11 Shatim. Where this came from? 600,000 Osius LaTorah. The Gemara says in Kedushin Vav DeGachon, right? Is it part of the first half of the Sefer Torah? Is it part of the second half? So ask the Pnei Yeshua over there in Kedushin, why can you say it's in the middle? The Gemara says, Bab de Gachon is the middle letter of the Sefer Torah, and the Gemara's Suffolk is it from the first half or the second half? Nusa, what's the Shiloh? Ask the Pnei Yeshua, why don't you just say it's in the middle? So he says, no, the Masari is that they're only Shishim Rebo Osius the Torah, and he says, the reason why it's because it's connected to each person in Klai Yisrael. There's 600,000 people in Klai Yisrael, 600,000 letters in the Torah. Okay? So Rav Asher explained that based on this, that's where Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion was giving them hope. He was saying that they can do everything to us. They can destroy us, they can have pogroms, they can make a holocaust, they can do all the terrible things. But bottom line is, the Uma Yisraelis, the Neshama of Klal Yisrael, will never be destroyed. That's the Oshias Parchas Ba'avir. The Torah is something that's everlasting, the Neshama is something that's everlasting. And therefore, as much as they try to destroy us, it's something we should always have hope to, that they can never get to our real Pneumius, to our real essence, they can never ever destroy. That's something that should carry us throughout all the terrible times that we might ever have to suffer. We should never know from such things.